Hello, what is up? And welcome to Off the Books, where we're surfing the uncharted waters of accounting, of finance, and wherever else those waves take us. This episode is brought to you by Workiva, the risk, reporting, and compliance platform preferred by Vanilla Ice. Hey, you got a problem? Yo, I'll solve it. Check out Workiva.com while the DJ revolves it. I'm Drew Dubner, and I am your host. I'm not an accountant, but I like asking questions of people who are, so finance professionals can do their jobs better. And today, we're talking leadership and civility, two things the world could use a lot more of today. And we've got three people aboard to come join the conversation. We've got Steve Soder, Charles Carrington, and Dina Trainer. How you doing, Steve? Would you tell the fine folks at home who you are?
Drew, I'm doing very well. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Steve Soder, accounting enthusiast and Diet Coke aficionado. I'm looking forward to debiting some direction and insight in our discussion today.
Sweet. Hiya, Charles.
Howdy. And last time I was on your show, I got in trouble for mentioning the brand name of another diet soda. But I am not a fan of the same diet soda that Steve is. So I will refrain this time from mentioning the brand name of the other soda that is recommended by a doctor. And so I will refrain from that. And Charles Carrington, I am a partner with a firm called Deloitte. And I've got my good friend Dina with me today.
Hi, Dina.
Hi. Glad to be here and glad to join you all. I'm also a part of the Deloitte family and a managing director in our, I'll call it our finance organization, and a thought leader, as I would say.
I love it. I could use some thought leadership myself.
And that's why we're here.
So I'll start this episode off with a bit of an analogy. Maybe not an analogy, but like a microcosm, an example. Charles, you tipped me off recently about this app called Fishbowl, which is an app that allows employees of different companies to share anonymous grievances about their work with other people at those same companies. So it's like a private, local, anonymous social network, just exclusive to your company and the people within it. From the perspective of a manager, what does that mean? Does that keep you up at night?
Does this actually, people on the podcast can't see my face, but I was going to say, does this face look like I don't sleep well? Because that's a worry considering how early we are in the year, but I do sleep very well. And in respect to Fishbowl, you know what I'd say, Drew? There's always been gossip. There's always been gossip in the coffee room. There's always been, you know, back in the day, there was graffiti on the bathroom stalls that was not being too polite about the boss, maybe. And I think what we've got now is this just broadcasts the message that if there is a grievance, people can air that grievance. But I'd also say there's an upside that we as managers can listen and respond. That wasn't too easy with graffiti. People never really realized that their grievances were actually read, and certainly I'd probably get in trouble if I started writing long responses on the bathroom stalls. Probably. Dina?
I would agree, Charles. Well, while Charles does get a good night's sleep, I have a one-year-old that decides to wake up in the middle of the night almost every night. But if I have to pivot over to Fishbowl and kind of what does that really mean? I would agree with Charles. It's there to understand real-time feedback, not only that we're hearing in our firm, but also what we're hearing on the broader scale, right? You know, Fishbowl is for many different industries, many different companies, and a lot of great perspectives. This is really an area where, as a leader, I think we can learn and reflect on what we see, what we hear, and what we can bring, I guess, to our own, you know, teams.
And Dina, it's not just griping, right? There is some people who just like the veil of anonymity, right, to ask other questions.
For sure, for sure. I mean, there are some simple questions on there of how do I transfer to a different service line that they may just not want to ask, you know, somebody internally, but could get that information pretty quickly, you know, via the app.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that before. It could be a way of asking, like, the dumb questions that you didn't ask on day one in a fail-safe sort of way.
The favorite question I read today, actually, Drew, was one of my partners, or a partner in another Big Four, asking for recommendations on hair restoration, which, again, probably you wouldn't go into your partner's office and ask that, right?
But that's probably not one you could be very anonymous if you actually went ahead with said restoration, right? I mean, I'm presumably you're trying not to hide that. I think my question is, what can we as managers then, what do we do about this? So you have this other thread, this other feed of information, which is going to be, you know, web-based or on an app or whatever you want to call it. And so now as managers, it's like, hey, I have this whole other thread that I need to be thinking about. Because my thought as a manager would be, well, wait a minute, why does somebody have to ask how to transfer to another line of service anonymously? If I had the kind of relationship as a manager that I want to have with my team members, I actually hope they would feel comfortable just asking me directly rather than wondering, you know, well, is Steve going to think I'm not committed to this, or is he going to worry about my dedication or whatever? And so I guess my question is, beyond Fishbowl, what does this do? Because we now have this other medium of exchange of information that, you know, may or may not foster these kind of face-to-face trusted conversations.
One of the phrases I can't stand in business is, I have an open door policy. Mm. And the reason why I hate that is, first of all, who has a closed door policy, right? No one. And secondly, you may have an open door policy, but say, you know, I've been in the profession for 20 something years, someone walking into the office on day one, and are they going to walk into my office and say, hey, Charles, how do I transfer to another business line, right? They're not going to do it because they're just going to feel, this guy is more senior than me. It's, am I asking the right person? Am I basically going to damage my career? Whatever it is from it. And I would say, what can we do differently is you need to pull people into the door. And you need to actually, as a manager, you need to initiate the conversations. You can't wait till someone posts something on Fishbowl or ultimately sends a resignation letter. You have to engage with all members of your team and make them and give them opportunities and pull them into those conversations such that you can actually learn about them and what's on their mind. Yes, having an open door, but pulling people through it is what we've got to do to have those conversations.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Charles. And one of the things you want to add is likability, right? You want your team to like you because they would, when you like someone, you're more open to talk with them. You're more open to have trusted conversations. I guess the other thing that kind of comes to mind, and maybe this is accurate or maybe it's not, but I think of my 7-year-old that's trying to ask me a question when I'm in the middle of a conference call. And she doesn't have the patience. She just doesn't have the patience to wait. So could it be a sense of someone did ask the question and they didn't have the patience to wait for the answer? So they figure, well, let's try another venue to see if I get it faster. Maybe we might read more into the reasoning for the question than what it is. But, and I'm not also trying to compare professionals to my 7-year-old, but it's, again, just something that kind of came to mind as we were talking.
I frequently compare professionals to 7-year-olds, Dina, so don't worry about that at all.
Sometimes I just want to go back to being a 7-year-old, Steve.
Oh, no kidding. Well, I think, but if I was to think, okay, well, as a manager, do I want Fishbowl or do I not want Fishbowl again, going back to just that one singular example, although I think the topic's broader. And the answer is, well, probably yes, because if nothing else, it helps me determine if there is a vastly different set of questions or concerns or things that people are asking than what I'm seeing in the, you know, in the real world, let's call it. And then at least I know, well, how wide is that chasm, you know, between what people would want to say anonymously versus what is being talked about generally. I mean, if for no other reason, I feel like that's helpful.
Yeah, it's a good way of really getting a gauge on how effective your communication is. If you're looking at your fishbowl boards and it's blowing up with complaints, maybe that's a good time to actually stand back and say, we need to do a better job internally of communicating rather than waiting for people to start putting negative messages out on something like Fishbowl.
Because you see Fishbowl as emblematic or an example of what the same sort of conversations that are going on in your workplace, whether or not they're happening on Fishbowl as well.
Probably amongst peers. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think I may have mentioned it earlier, but it's also understanding broadly the context of what's going on out there. So not just in our firm or in our company, what are other companies dealing with, right? And when you learn from others, you sometimes learn the pitfalls of what not to do. But if you, let's say you didn't have something like a fishbowl, you may not know out there, and you may make the same mistakes that other companies are making, right? Or even, or as I would say, bring it back to as a manager, as a leader, if I don't know what other people are, what doesn't work for them, right? Call it generational, call it personal preference. I don't know how to change and make myself a better leader and more effective for my teams. So I find it fairly helpful. You know, yes, there's out there, there are grievances out there that you're kind of like, really, is this, you know, are we complaining to complain? Okay, scroll through. But then you will come to those. You're like, interesting.
Absolutely. But team, I think our sponsor is going to have a grievance with us if we don't stop for a quick commercial break. So we'll be right back in a hot jiffy. Today's episode of Off the Books is brought to you by Workiva. I found a website yesterday called lookslikeyouneediceland.com, created by the Tourism Bureau of Iceland, the country. In an effort to help people, wherever they are, release some stress, you can record yourself screaming, upload it to the site, and they will blast that scream over loudspeakers in the Icelandic wilderness. Yes, dear listener, if you listen really, really hard and visit the outskirts of Reykjavik at 3 a.m., you can hear Steve scream bloody murder about 7-Eleven running out of Diet Coke Slurpee. If your scream, as you think of it, would mention something about terrible compliance and risk and reporting processes, let me introduce you to Workiva. Yes, Workiva. Automate all that awful, useless copy and pasting and spend more time actually doing your job. Fancy that. Communicate with your colleagues right inside the platform without sending emails or text messages or screaming into the Nordic wild. Workiva, it is the risk and reporting catharsis you've been longing for without hurting your precious vocal cords. Check out workiva.com/podcast to learn more and to get a demo. That's WORKIVA.com/podcast. And we're back. Hey, Charles, I was going to say back to the fishbowl thing at the top of the conversation, but it kind of turned into the fishbowl show. Back to the fishbowl thing. Is this just a generational problem? I mean, you know, you go on Twitter and you go on hellscapes like 4chan, and it's just like 20-year-olds venting and being internet trolls. Is this that, but the professional sense of that? Or is fishbowl entirely different?
I don't think trolling and having an ability to get a voice is anything to do about age. I actually think that we've got these vehicles nowadays where we can express ourselves, which we didn't have to before. Which we didn't have before. And I would say with that comes a certain degree of personal responsibility and certain degree of decorum, I would call it, and just general civility, maybe is the word, of how do you express yourself and make your voice known through these medium. And I do think it's very valid for people who aren't previously heard to use to have these forums so they can be heard. I mean, we've seen that last summer with all the Black Lives Matter, what happens when people's grievances aren't properly heard. And I know it's probably a poor comparison, but if people's grievances aren't heard at work, we're going to have a problem as well. Obviously a completely different scale, but we don't want to have a toxic culture at work. It's just like we don't want to have a toxic culture in the country where we live.
Charles, do you think that it's now becoming almost a required skill set to share those grievances properly, to communicate on mediums like Fishbowl, much in the way that writing a proper business letter, that skill set would have been important, let's call it maybe 30 or 40 years ago, you know, here's where you put the date, here's where you put the salutation, this is the number of spaces between that and the address. That's an extreme example. But do you see, hey, this is maybe a skills gap that is now emerging?
I'm not sure if there's a skills gap, but I think there's certainly a skill in how to express a grievance and how to complain. And I'll give you an example. We went out with as a family for a meal, and the service was absolutely terrible. And it was because that something had gone completely wrong in the kitchen. And the waitress was absolutely fantastic, and she was trying her best to keep it together and keep us entertained. But at the end of the meal, we'd been there for 2 hours, and our food still hadn't come out, not because of her fault. There's a way of complaining to the manager to say, I am not paying for this meal because of this unsatisfactory product that you've given me. But then saying to the waitress, but you work on tips. I'm prepared to give you the tip that you would have got anyway because you tried really hard. So there's a way to do that. And obviously my kids were sitting there absolutely mortified when this went on. But I think there is a way to doing it rather than just standing up and berating someone who isn't at fault for that. And I think that's the same at work, Steve. I think you're hitting on something very profound. There's a way to say to your manager, I'm not happy with my assignment because, or I'm not happy with my assignment and I think I would be a better fit for this assignment, rather than just saying, I hate my job, I'm leaving, I'm going somewhere else. So it comes down to communication, right?
Communication and also listening.
Right? Pardon?
And also...
Sorry. Every time I get her with that one.
Yes, exactly. If I'm not listened to, I don't have to be right, but I need to be listened to, right? I need to feel like somebody cares, you know? And I do think that's important because you do have people leaving because they weren't listened to, right? And then guess what happens? They go to another company with the right manager that listened, and new products are made, new startups happen. I'm making it bigger, but it's sitting and listening and not going into a conversation with your own agenda. Like sometimes just being silent and going, and listening. Because going back to kind of the conversation on the trolling piece, and does it, is there a college course now to write grievances, right? Like I don't know, right? But I do think the communication of how people do express their feelings when they feel like they're actually being listened to is different than being able to just throw it out there on an anonymous site and see what sticks.
Yeah, I believe that. So on top of that, do you think there's a responsibility on the manager's part to complete that feedback loop? By which I mean, someone throws a grievance out there. It's on your lap as a leader to address it. Is it part of your role to communicate the fact that that has been changed back to them? To say, hey, I hear you. I see you. This is what I did because of that.
If you don't, it ends up in an empty voice.
Yeah.
And even as Dina says, if you explain why something can't be changed and help someone, for example, going back to what I was talking about earlier, I don't like the engagement I'm working on. And if someone came to that and I explained to them why I thought this was the right engagement and why it would benefit their career, for example, would be better than just saying, well, no, this is what you've been given. This is what you've been assigned. So I think, yes, you've got to listen to the grievance, but also you've got to demonstrate either change or the reason why you're not making a change.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that too.
So if we all assume then that, you know, no matter what happens after COVID, remote work kind of becomes the norm to one degree or another, what I hear you telling me is that validation becomes almost the principal thing that needs to be addressed. That's not going to eliminate grievances, but that's probably going to change the tenor of the conversation, the means of delivery, and so forth. And it makes me think back to what Charles had mentioned earlier in the episode, which is you need to draw people in the door. It's not enough to have the door open. You need to draw people in. So I guess kind of in closing here to wrap up, then what advice do you have for managers to do just that, to draw them in, to share that validation so that absent anonymous means of conversation, you know, they're bringing the core things to you in a real, genuine, honest way that doesn't have the, you know, all of the other baggage that anonymity and everything else might go along with it.
And I would say, Steve, what's the biggest lie in business? The biggest lie in business is it's not personal, it's business. And I say that's absolute rubbish. Every single business decision, every single transaction is personal. We do business because that is how our economy works, so that we can put food on the table. Whether it's me buying groceries and interacting with the cashier and being human to that cashier, that is a business transaction. Or whether it's whether a executive is closing a plant, obviously that has huge personal ramifications. And I think that's what we've got to absolutely put front and center, is that all business is about people. We have to have one-to-one relationships. We need to have these open conversations. We need to actually make time for not just getting the job done, but we need to make time for the people who are doing the job. And that, to me, is much more important. How do we make time for the person doing the job and make sure that we're having that relationship with them, that they're turning up to work every day, having a fulfilled career, that they are having a day where that they actually feel that they are comfortable and they're performing to their best. And that takes time, and that takes being maybe a little bit vulnerable on your own side. But to me, that's much more important than making sure that that task gets done.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The words that come to mind is genuine interest. Genuine interest in the person. The work will get done. And I mean, we've all heard the phrase that we're all replaceable. Yeah. There's a bunch of smart people out there that can do the work. But what's not replaceable is the relationship that you build with someone, and the genuine interest that you take in that person so that they feel comfortable talking to you, that maybe they'll still go on pitch pool because, you know, it is interesting, right? There's just certain topics you talk about. But if it's work related and it's something personal related, they are comfortable going to you and maybe help solve there without the, and you know, all the anonymous feedback. If you don't have genuine interest, and people can read that, you know, people can honestly read you. And if you think they can't, you're fooling yourself. I mean, I talked to Charles and, you know, he has a genuine interest in me.
Except a genuine interest in listening.
Yeah. What was that, Drew?
Yeah. I joke, but it is. You've learned who your mentors are along the way. And I've reflected back on those people and have thanked them, you know, over the years too. And some people don't know that they were mentors, but they just generally took an interest in me.
Mm-hmm. I believe it. So there's nothing more personal than the apps on your phone, which is the closing question of the day. Every episode of Off the Books, we like to close on a nice lighthearted note. It's a fun way to end a show. And the question of the day is, what app gets the most use on your phone? For me, it's Strava. I'm a big runner. I like to run, and it tracks my runs. How you doing, Steve? You got an app?
Well, I have several, and now going forward, it sounds like the app I need to be paying attention to is Fishbowl. To Drew and Steve, time to check the Off the Books Fishbowl board.
That goes without saying.
So my favorite app last week, it was Ski Tracks, because I was skiing and I was desperately trying to be faster than my son, who is almost as fast as me after 20 years. And I can tell you, this app is telling me I got to 47.5 miles per hour skiing, which is pretty good because he only got to 46. Nice. So, yes, that's my favorite app at the moment, Ski Tracks.
The one I check every single day because I find it interesting is that my Time Hop app, because I like to go back to when the world was more simple. And also it brings back fun memories looking back what happened a year ago, two, three, four, 5 years ago, and how much we've changed.
Well, I got to go check all of those out. Steve, Charles, Dina, thank you so much for coming on Off the Books. I'm Drew Dubner. This has been Off the Books. Please subscribe, leave an Apple Podcast review, which really, really helps us, or tell your buddies if you like the show. If you want to be on the show, if you want to yell at us, if you want to give us app reviews, write us at offthebooks, all one word, at workiva.com. Surf's up, and we'll see you on the next wave.